Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Ooh, girl. Doing good. I mean, today was just like flop after flop. My day like started off real hot by like slipping on some ice and like hitting my head on the concrete.
Oh,
and
no.
It's just been like uphill.
Oh my God.
So who knows what's going to come out of my face today, my mouth, my voice.
How hard did you hit your
It hurt. Drew asked me if I had a concussion. I said, I don't know. How am I supposed to know if I have a concussion?
Oh my God. Where did you fall? Yeah. Just going out to your car?
On the streets. So
Sue the whole city.
So I don't know, because like there's been the whole saga about where I can park my car and where I can't. And I was parked in a spot that I wasn't supposed to. And then I moved my car back onto the street because I said, this is my street. I deserve to park in front of my house. And then it snowed again. And then I was like, wait, maybe I should probably park where I'm not supposed to be parking again. So then this morning, first thing, I drove my car over there. And on my way back, the universe was punishing me for parking in a space I'm not supposed to be parking in. And I just full on wiped out. So this is like concussion pod today.
Oh my God.
It's not. I don't have a concussion as far as I know.
Yeah. Just do that thing where like have someone shine a light in your eyes and see what happens.
Yeah. But now my thumbs are burning because I spill, like I like put, take, took out, like I spilled out the pasta water and it splashed on my hands.
Oh my God.
So we're not thriving. We're not thriving.
You're having a day.
Yeah. I'm just like injuring myself. But how are you?
Yikes. I'm good. My day was not quite as injury filled. I just went about my normal business, didn't leave my house, worked. That was pretty much it, honestly. Last time we spoke, I had watched season one of Stranger Things, or I think I was almost about to get to the finale. We started season two. Max is the best. I love Max. I love Bob. Those are your Stranger Thing updates.
Mm-hmm. And Bob's like Patton Oswalt, right?
No.
Oh. Who's Bob?
Okay, this is funny because Bob actually is in Lord of the Rings.
What the heck?
Do you remember Samwise from Lord of the Rings?
I don't. Oh, Jessica, why do you think I would Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bob, and he is adorable.
Who?
And he is Samwise Gamgee. That's the name of the character, not the name of the actor. I don't know the name
Bob
of the
actor. Newby. Bob, Sean Astin.
Yes.
Why
he is
not
like Patton Oswalt?
Patton Oswalt.
That is not who that is. That's a total. Wow. I guess I could see the similarities because they're like shorter, maybe a little bit of a belly in a lot of the roles. But
in my mind, this, like, I could have envisioned the entire entire thing as Patton Oswalt.
I could see him playing that character, to be fair, but no, it's Bob, and Bob is great. Bob has a Bobmobile, and I love him. I think he's adorable, and I'm very happy he's now in the show. Yeah. So update, that's my update for Stranger Things. Also, everybody had to have heard that killer ass bop that we have at the beginning of our podcast now. For those of you who like started listening to this podcast and you're like, what is this magic that my ears are hearing? Is our fabulous theme song. Thank you so much to JD McGuire. Killed it, nailed it, slayed it. Is exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. So this has been in the works, and I mean, I was quite surprised that he made us a whole ass like 90s sitcom theme song.
Yes.
I was blown away, thrilled, of course. And my favorite thing about it is that after he presented to us, and you know, I was saying how much I liked it. I mean, it touches a little bit on like 90s. Poof. It touches on like how 2020 was, and mm-hmm. you know, like finding like a golden moment in all the chaos. But he said that it was written like inspired by how we met in our friendship.
Yes. And it's so wholesome. The entire song is so wholesome. And I was laughing because I'm like, the whole song is like very wholesome and cute and like heartwarming. And then you come in here and we're just like, Dawson's a fucking asshole. Like, it's just so funny to me.
The juxtaposition is awesome.
Yes. I love it so much. So thank you so much to JD, all his hard work.
Thank you.
You're going to be hearing it every single time at the beginning of the podcast because we love it so much. And also our voices are like a tiny itty bitty part of the theme song.
Yeah, I'm shocked that all the glasses didn't break as soon as it plays. We sent him like a little like snippet of what both of us were thinking about
the last line said,
"Shit 90 shows Tommy."
Yes.
And he actually like used our sample, and I was like, "Whoa, are you sure you want to do that?" But
he was like volume way down on those.
Yeah, for me anyway. Not a singer, never claimed to be.
But we love it so much, and we're so happy that we've been waiting for a theme song. We have a theme song now, and I feel like it's kismet. It's perfect timing. We're rolling into season 2 of Boy Meets World. Like, we're taking the world by storm in 2021. We needed a kick-ass theme song.
Yeah. I'm very, very pumped. Very, very appreciative. So thank you so much, JD.
Yes. Many, many shout outs to JD. Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll thank him at the end of every podcast as well. But if you don't already follow him, he's at JD McGuire on Twitter as well, if you would like to give him a follow. He's prolific in The Wand Off if you are an RHAP fan, with his wife, Leah, who we also love. She's wonderful. She wrote one of the lines, which of course was the line that I specifically was like, this line was my favorite. And he's like, that's the one that Leah wrote, of course.
Yeah, you did that before also when he like showed us his original concept. You did the same exact thing. You picked out her line and he was like, well, yeah, that's like my better half's line. You're like, listen, why?
Leah and I just share a brain sometimes. It's not my fault.
Yeah, it seems to be so.
So that's what's going on in our world. And today we are here to talk about Dawson's Creek season 1 episode 8, Boyfriend. Which you had like thought, I think you had guessed that it was like, are they defining the relationship?
Yeah. Which apparently I like skipped that step because that like already happened.
But like, I feel like they had that moment on the show. I think it was it's this.
Yeah, they didn't have the moment on the show. I think that Dawson was just like, yeah, like, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend. And Jen was like, okay, like, I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that he definitely took the initiative with 100%. That one. 100%. So not quite. There was some, like, egg surprises going on in this episode. It was, like, it was bizarre at times.
There are so many things that we need to talk about in this episode of, like, so let's break it down by pairings like we usually do, and if you want you can choose who we're going to talk about first. We have the Dawson. Can you imagine if that was like their ship name, Dawson?
I thought it was. What did we say?
Doughy Jocelyn? Or Jocelyn. They're Jocelyn. Both horrible.
Yeah.
Dawson like and Joey. We have Dawson and Jen plus Billy. I think they all kind of roll together. Joey and Pacey. And we have Gail and Mitch. Back to the Gail and Mitch drama.
Do you want to just get Gail and Mitch out of the way?
Yeah, let's toss them all. Like, let's talk about them quickly. They have a pretty minor situation this episode. Yeah. It's basically them like working out their relationship. They're in therapy. They're trying to figure out how to get along. They're trying to like, it's weird because this like seems like when you're first starting to date somebody and you're like kind of awkward around each other and you're like trying to do activities so that it maybe isn't, you're not like just sitting staring at each other in the face. And it's so obvious that they're struggling because they like want to include Dawson in everything as like an icebreaker.
Yeah. I feel like, you know what? So basically, yeah, they're struggling to make conversation. I think that they're kind of putting on an act to make Dawson feel like everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're like, when Dawson's around, they're like extra cheery and extra chatty. To me, it's obvious that Dawson obviously hears what happens behind closed doors and knows that they're like not okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like they're definitely including Dawson because Dawson's like the perfect buffer. Like that's their son. It's easier for them to talk to Dawson. But Dawson is like out of Dodge. Like he's doing anything and everything to avoid his parents. And I also think his parents realize that too, because he doesn't want to stick around like that bad energy. They're just giving off vibes. Mm-hmm. You have to sage that house.
Oh my God, absolutely. And it's so funny because like I did really love the scene though between Mitch and Dawson later in the episode when Dawson's like getting ready for the party that he's going to and Mitch comes in, and we'll talk about his outfit later because it reminded me of, have you seen the movie Knives Out?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh my, you, okay, first of all, you need to see that movie. Mm-hmm. I think you actually really like it. It's really good. It's really well done. Yeah. Like the cast is insane.
You know what happened? I opted to see that Jennifer Aniston / Adam Sandler movie instead.
Oh my.
And I was like, I know it's different and Knives Out is so much better.
Murder mystery or something like that, I think.
Like, but why am I going to watch like the same movie? Like right after.
I will say, to be fair to Murder Mystery, if that's the name, which I think it is, it's like a Netflix original Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler movie. Will and I watched it. We really liked it. We really thought it was funny and clever. Yeah. But Knives Out was like the movie of the year. And it has like Chris Evans. Which year? But the main memorable thing that came out of that movie is the sweater that Chris Evans is wearing in that movie. Like, everybody was talking about this sweater. It's like a ribbed, like the corded kind of like heavy, heavy New England sweater, like a cream color. Anyway, we'll get into it later, but Mitch's sweater reminded me of that. But I love this scene between Mitch and Dawson because Mitch is basically saying like, you know, anybody who hasn't been hurt is either very lucky or very lonely. And the trick is kind of getting through it. And I really liked that moment of like fatherly son advice.
Yeah, this was interesting. He says every relationship comes with disappointments, insecurity, and pain. And anyone who hasn't been hurt is either lucky or lonely. Mm-hmm. The trick is to get through it by compromise, tears, and I guess scuba lessons, which goes back to what Gail and Mitch do to try to save their relationship or add some spice back into the relationship. The the therapist suggests that they try a new hobby, which, you know, I've heard this advice before. So
what do you think of this advice?
I think that ultimately, what the goal is to find a hobby where both of you are excited to spend some time together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in general, it's good advice. Ultimately, what Mitch lands on is when he's talking to Gail towards the end of the episode is that perhaps it's not something new that they have to work on. Maybe it's the old stuff and going back to basics. I think that was probably the right move. I mean, I've been in a relationship for almost 14 years, crazily enough, even though I'm a young, ripe 31 years old. And being in such a long-term relationship, my advice is always that relationships truly are like a roller coaster. You have really great times and really hard times. And if you truly feel like this is your person and you want to have that person be with you forever, is you have to get through, you have to push through the hard times. And that's not for relationships that are abusive or toxic.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like a relationship that both parties are, you know, are good people. There's nothing like a big thing that's like in the middle. It's just that like relationships are hard, and choosing to be with one person is hard. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I don't think humans are like made to be monogamous. I think that.
Yeah, I would generally agree. I think it's tricky to.
Yeah.
If you're around any one person for long enough, they're going to annoy you at times, and you're going to. Yeah. And I mean, people do need their own space and their own time to be, you know, you don't want to be codependent, right? Nope. I do think that, like, I think that telling them to do something new can be very tricky depending on someone's personality, because if it doesn't go well, you're probably going to get frustrated with your partner.
Exactly, which is what we saw here because they got into a little tiff in the mid-episode where Gail felt like he wasn't like sticking close to him, like the scuba instructor instructed her to. And he was like, it was basically a metaphor in life. She's like, well, if you're not going to stay by me, then how am I going to like be able to survive? And it's kind of like, and he's like, well, we were in a pool, Gail. We were in a pool.
I think it's tricky because like the stuff that ultimately ends up working for them, like the dancing thing, I think it could have been anything. It was more that like Mitch was willing to like do something romantic and be close to her and like show her affection, which good on him, because this has not been very long since he found out that like she was having an affair. So like to me, this is very soon. If someone breaks my trust, for me to like give that back so fully to them right away. I mean, obviously they've had a long marriage and it, not every relationship is the same. Not every person is the same, but like, this was very quick where he was like, okay, I love you and I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you know?
Well, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, if both parties are willing to make it work and want to make it work. I mean, it wasn't working before because Mitch wasn't willing to make it work earlier in the episode. I mean, Gail at one point said, like, when are you going to stop punishing me? Or I don't know if she said that exactly, but
That's what she said. And he's,
when are you going to stop punishing me? And he basically says that, when it stops hurting to like look at you.
Yeah. And like, can you blame him? Right. Like, they're both right. Right. Like, she's like, we can't make this work if you punish me forever. And he's hurt from what she did. So it's they're both right in a way. We obviously want to look at her as the bad guy for what she did. But if they're going to make it work, he does have to forgive her to some extent.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You can't say that I want to make this work and then like give in 0% of the effort and just make her feel like she has to put in 200% of the effort. Yeah. Like, if you're going to work through this kind of issue, you need both parties fully committed, fully into making it work and fixing the issue. And I think going back to basics is good. I did find it a little weird that he was like, no, like, kissing is too much. Like, we have to, like, take it slow. It's like, okay. But, like, you're intimately dancing on your porch.
Yeah.
But
kiss
it, like, one little peck is too much.
I could see his point, but they've also been married for so long. So it's not like he's kissing a stranger, you know? Like, he's kissed her before.
Yeah.
I think we need to start a relationship advice podcast. I feel like we'd be good at it. Just kidding. That would be bad.
I don't know. You want my relationship advice? I'm like a big P, if you know what I mean.
We would need well, that's why I think it would work out, right? Because you would be like, oh, maybe you need to like be nicer to the person and more forgiving, and I'm like, dump them.
That would make for a very conflicting podcast.
It would. Like, no. That we would need professional liability if that were to ever happen. 100% ruining people's lives left and right.
I know. I did also think it's funny how like this conversation between Mitch and Dawson was originally, and like Dawson was like talking about like, it just sucks that the nice guys who get screwed over in relationships all the time.
Listen, we have another line coming up at the very end that we need to talk about, because I'm like, Dawson.
First and foremost, before we get into this, and I'm probably going to say this again later, if you have to say that you're the nice guy, guess what, motherfucker? You're not the nice guy. You're not the nice guy.
Nice guys don't call themselves nice guys.
Nice guys don't call themselves nice guys. So I don't want to hear if you think you're a nice guy for you to say you're a nice guy. That automatically deducts your nice guy points. Don't want to hear about it.
Yep.
So.
Okay. I think we should move to Dawson, Jen, and Billy next because I think they're the natural next step in this
Billy.
Saga.
So, Billy. Billy, who is Billy? I did not Google him because I'm not allowed to Google. Like, who is this
the
dude?
Actor?
Yeah.
Let me look it up. Because I don't know. I he didn't look familiar to me. But I'm looking him up right now. Billy Conrad is Eon Bailey, E-I-O-N Bailey.
Eon. Oh, girl, Eon. I think it's still pronounced Ian.
Oh.
I know somebody that's spelled the same way. I'm pretty sure he calls himself Ian, which
okay,
is like
so if it's
bullshit.
Ian, do you know what he's in? He was in Once Upon a Time. I don't know if you watched that. He played August Booth.
I watched
very
it.
Prominent role.
Who I mean I kind of watched like the first season, but mm-hmm. I didn't really watch it after that.
I watched like a few seasons, but anyway, he had a big role in that. So that's who that's who Billy is. But Billy comes into town. He's Jen's ex. He basically, this entire episode is trying to get Jen back. And like, okay, to me, and we are usually very team Jen on this podcast. We are pro Jen 90% of the time and anti Dawson, you know, 90% of the time. Jen asks Dawson if Billy can stay with him. Jen,
okay,
what kind of drugs are you on?
Okay, yeah. So Jen has high highs and low lows in this episode. So basically, Jen sees – so Billy comes into town. Pacey gives him directions. And he goes to the high school. Jen is talking with Dawson, sees Billy – like makes like a quick abrupt like I'll talk to you later Dawson, goes right to Billy. Dawson stays back and watches them, and Billy's like, come out with me, like talk to me. And long story short, she goes with him. Dawson like follows them, and
no, I think I
this is later in the day,
like the timeline was confusing because it seemed like they were like in class and she ditched with Billy and maybe he was just on his way home, but you could be right. I guess he could follow. I don't know. I don't think it was very clear.
No, it wasn't very clear. And I think she changed clothes also. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Jen, so basically Billy's like, oh, I drove like all night from New York. Not
Which
true.
Makes no sense because it's like 3 hours.
Not true. So he's like, I'm tired. Like, even if you don't want to talk to me, I can't possibly go home today. It's been like a long day. And Jen, so then he's like, if the least you can do is basically tell me like where I can stay, like give me a place to stay.
Right.
Or like tell
so
me where
she
I can
thinks
stay.
That Dawson is the person to let him stay there. And here's the thing, though. She tells Dawson he's like an old friend. No, he's not. He's an ex-boyfriend. Yeah.
But
which
then,
she does clarify when he's like, is he really just an old friend? And she's like, oh, you already know about him, which then leads him to know
him.
He's the guy that Jen
he's
got caught
guy?
Having sex with on the bed, on her parents' bed. And Dawson, you know, does let Billy stay, which is, in my opinion, like very big on Dawson, I think. Because that's...
No, it's because he's like... Pussy whips, like, and like he feels like he can't say no.
He can't say no, but I mean, he could say no, but he won't because he wants Jen to be happy, right?
Yeah, so, like, and Jen's like, okay, and this is like another lie by Jen because I'm sorry, she says you now mean 10 times more to me than Billy does. I think
big
that's
lie.
A lie.
Big lie. Because here's big the thing. Lie. If you like Dawson 10 times as much as you ever liked Billy, you don't waffle back and forth this entire episode on who you want to be with.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not confusing because maybe it is. Like maybe you see Billy, these old feelings.
It seems like
come
they
up.
Didn't even have a proper breakup.
I also don't understand. She's like, oh no, Billy was the one that treated me the best. And it's like, if Billy was the one who treated you the best, like, I don't want to know what the other guys seemed like.
Oh, no, but we know that the other guys cheated her horribly. I think, like, I don't think that there's a proper breakup. I don't think that, like, this was, like, they had any closure. Like, I think that she just got, like, whisked away from New York. And, like, Billy's like, hey, like, I'm here. And she's like, no, I've changed. And he's probably like, wait a minute. I thought that we were just, like, you know, I thought we were just on a break.
Yeah, and it's so weird this episode because it's, like, back and forth a million times. Like, first Jen tells Dawson, oh, my God, I like you 10 times more than I ever liked Billy. And then when, like, the next day, when Dawson asks if she's going back with him, she hesitates and says it's complicated, but that her feelings for Dawson haven't changed. But then when she's alone with Billy, and she's like, no, Billy, you need to leave. And he asks for one last kiss. To me, this is crossing a line. Because if you've DTR'd with Dawson, if you've defined the relationship, you should not be kissing. I mean, it was just like a peck, let's be real. Like, it was not a full-on MO.
She pecks him and, like, pushes him away.
Yeah.
And
she kissed Pacey way more intensely than she kissed Billy.
But for such a young relationship, the fact that she's kissed half the guys that she knows just, like, says all that it needs to
Well, say. One was a dare. One was a dare. So I don't think that one really counts.
She kissed Pacey twice. Once in the movie, and then she's kissed Pacey probably more than she's kissed Dawson.
Like, am I wrong? Can you blame her? But no, like, so then she gives Billy, like, one last kiss, and then that's when she goes to the party and finds Dawson, and she apologizes. Mm-hmm. And he immediately is, like, forgives her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's Billy left.
I was, like, kind of cool with. I was like, oh, Dawson, you're actually acting like a normal human being. Like, she was, like, in the middle of apologizing, and he just kisses her. I'm like, oh, Dawson, like, good for you. You're not acting like a pussy bitch for once.
You were surprised that he, like, was so quick to forgive her?
Yeah, that was, you know, how I think, like, a confident guy would react if this wasn't, like, so convoluted and bullshitty. Well,
then it gets crazy to me, right? Because we already get to the point.
Now it gets crazy?
Well, it was crazy, but this is even crazier. So then we were to the point where, like, Jen has told Billy to leave. She thinks he's left, and she's with Dawson at the party. And then Billy shows up, and he's like, oh, that wasn't, you're going to tell me that was a goodbye kiss. That was way more than a goodbye kiss. And then she says she's confused. And I'm like,
I know.
You told him to leave.
She's confused because they're both acting like they have their dicks out and they're having a cockfight. It's ridiculous.
Well, then Dawson says the mean line of, like, you and everyone else with, like, who she's kissed or whatever. And I'm just like, that's rude.
Well, Billy says she was with me before she even entered your fantasies. And Dawson says you and everybody else. And I wrote dick.
Yeah,
dick.
He is a dick.
And he goes, and then she goes, you know what, Dawson? I may have made some mistakes, but at least I don't live in some fantasy world where everyone is so pure.
I mean, she's spot on, Jen. Spot on.
Yeah. And then Dawson gives her an ultimatum, like, him or me. Like, what are you going to do?
See, is it just me or, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm different. But, like, if there's even a second where, like, I'm with somebody and they can't decide between me and, like, some other person, like, I'm out. Like, if it's not obvious that it should be me, then, like, I don't need to be in this equation. You two can be together. Like, if you're not going to pick me very easily and obviously, then no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, I've thankfully never been in this situation. I would probably just crumble to the ground and cry my eyes out if I got put into this situation. So, such a bad spot. But Dawson's acting like such a dick. I mean, he has been antagonized a lot by Billy throughout this whole entire process, so I'm not surprised.
I think that Dawson is acting pretty reasonable considering the circumstances. Like, he has a girlfriend. His girlfriend's ex-boyfriend comes into town, stays with him, antagonizes him, calls his E.T. Figurine thingy a stuffed animal or a doll or whatever. And then, like, his girlfriend...
It's a collector's item!
His girlfriend can't decide between him and this other guy that he just met that's not rooming with him.
This dude is literally sleeping in his bedroom.
Yes!
In his bedroom!
In his bedroom!
What the actual fuck?
And he doesn't even know this guy.
doesn't know this guy, and he had to tell his parents, and I guess ask his parents, because Mitch knows about it, and he's like, where's, like, your roommate, Billy?
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. Like, you legit told your parents the situation, and your parents were like, yeah, let Gen's ex come in, no problem. Like, and this is not damaging to your self-esteem at all, kid.
And then he finds out that his girlfriend, who just came to a party and said she wants to be with him, also kissed him goodbye. Like, I just think if I'm Dawson, like, I'm probably having a bit more of a fit than he even did. He's so just like, I don't even know what to say about his infatuation with Jen, because he sees her on the dock after Billy finally leaves. And this is when he calls himself, for someone who views himself as a tragically nice guy, I spend a lot of time apologizing.
I mean, I think that's all you have to say. I mean, truly, sincerely, you, Dawson, are just not a nice guy. I think that you just have to let that go.
Yeah.
If you're calling yourself a nice guy, then you're just not a nice guy. And it's okay. Like, not, I mean, honestly, like, would I say that I'm a nice girl? Like, not necessarily. Am I a good person? I sure hope to think so.
I say the same thing about myself. Like, I would clarify and say, like, generally, I'm a good person. Does that mean I'm always nice? No, not at all.
And you're human. Like, that's the thing, Dawson. Like, you're not supposed to be, like, Prince Charming. You're not supposed to be, like, a perfect person or a perfect boyfriend or the perfect romantic partner. You're a teenager.
Yes.
And it's okay to be a teenager. I can't get over that line. That's, like, my favorite line of Dawson's Creek, where he's like, I'm a teenager. It's so funny.
Yeah, he loves to say that. Yeah, and, like, this is the part where I know I've, like, ripped on Jen a bit, but, like, I do like that she takes this opportunity to, like, she's like, you know what, I need to break up with you. You know, I always pour myself into a relationship.
Yeah.
I need to, like, be by myself, which I think is admirable. You know, she recognizes that it's, you know, it's, she needs to find herself, and she's doing the same thing she did in New York. And obviously Dawson is very unhappy about this.
Oh, yeah. So I think this was great. I mean, I think, like, once again, she is only 16. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. She's, like, never been single. She's never been independent. She, like, really needs this me time to find true happiness within herself. So breaking up with Billy and Dawson was the best thing. Like, she even says, like, she's never even, like, spent a Saturday night alone. Like, that's what she needs. But Dawson does not like this. And then he just goes, God, this was any crap that, like, Dawson, like, may have, like, gained sympathy or whatever, like, any ounce, like, totally got lost for me in this interaction. So he's like, his whiny bitch boy says, you can't just make me fall for you and then bail as soon as I, and then he gets interrupted. Mm-hmm. She go, like, then she's like, oh my God, this whole thing where she's like, I'll miss you every day. I'll regret my decision. Just shut up. like, she's like, just like, you know, one day I'm going to come back to you and you're going to say, like, sorry, I found it somebody else. And then Dawson goes into this whole fucking
this
spiel.
This is my sassy saying of the week.
Okay, so then I'll save it then.
Yeah, I know it's like a paragraph, but I was like, this has to be the one.
No, that's a great one. Like, it was just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And he's just, like, such a stupid idiot. And he leaves. Jen's left there looking sad. But you know what? Good for Jen for not being like, no way, like, let's talk this out. Like, they need to just part. Like, you know, it's been what we've been saying for the last 8 episodes. Like, Jen needs her own time to just, like, be her. Like, she doesn't need it, it's not necessarily even Dawson, you know? Like, maybe it's like, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, the feelings for somebody is like 50%, but the other 50% is timing. Like, maybe if they're in their best selves and their best mind states, like, maybe they would be able to work out just fine.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Cliff. It doesn't matter if it's Dawson or Billy. Like, she needs to be alone. She's 16.
Yeah.
She needs to just, like, have me time, be single, go on dates with different people, and, you know, just be a kid. Like, I don't know, go to the freaking football game and like a pep rally or
go
like
to a dance and single.
Go to your school dance.
Yeah.
Single.
Meet and other like, people, have friends. Also, can we just stop down for like a single second and talk about how fucking funny it was when Cliff asks Dawson, oh, have you seen Jen? I was going to invite her to a barbecue. Oh, you can come too. Also, do you know if Jen has a boyfriend? And he's like, I'm her boyfriend.
And he's like, so funny. He's like, oh, good for you, I guess.
It was so funny. I was like, oh my gosh, what a punch to the gut. You know what I mean? Like, to not even know.
Because I'm sure nobody sees that in school. Like, she does not look that into him.
No, I agree.
I think that she got herself in the situation that, like, he really likes her. And, you know, like we said last week, he makes her feel safe. She's the type of girl that likes to be in relationships, likes to have, like, a knight in shining armor type of figure. Being there to protect her or really be her companion. Like, Joey doesn't need that in life because she's always had to, like, rough it out on her own. But, like, Jen, and it's fine. I'm that type of girl. Like, I'm not, like, saying that's a bad thing for Jen. I'm saying it's, like, something that Jen and I both have to learn about is that we don't need guys and we're perfectly cool on our own.
Yeah. Are you surprised that they broke up this early? I mean, we're 8 episodes into season 1. Are you surprised that they're broken up right now?
Yeah, like, I think that, I think I am. Like, I think it's kind of a bold choice by Dawson and his creek to come to this decision to break up their, like, star relationship so soon. I don't think that we see that often in this kind of teen trope of, you know, he got the girl really quickly and he lost the girl really quickly. It's refreshing. I think it's what both characters need. I think that maybe they'll be more tolerable single. I mean, I'm at least assuming. I think there's going to be a couple of episodes where we get, like, whiny Dawson. But then again, I said the same thing about Pacey. I was like, oh, yeah, Pacey's, like, not the type of guy to, like, jump from girl to girl and be girl crazy when, like, he broke up with Tamara. And, like, Pacey's, like, forgotten about Tammy. Like, Tammy who? I never heard of Tammy before in my life.
I think Pacey's a lot better of a character without Tamara in the picture, honestly.
Yeah. But so I'm hoping that Dawson improves without having Jen. But I think we're going to have a couple of episodes where we have, like, whiny breakup Dawson. He's going to get those pints of Ben and Jerry Chunky Monkey. he has his whole freezer filled.
Breakup routine.
Well, he's probably got the breakup movies going.
Someone who isn't going to be upset about the Dawson-Jen breakup is our next pairing of Joey and Dawson.
Joey and Dawson.
Yeah. This was, like, based because we had the last episode be the Breakfast Club inspired episode where they're all in detention. I think it was only natural that we kind of get to the point, and also the baby isn't sleeping, which I thought was, like, a fun inclusion in this episode. So Joey's getting absolutely no sleep at all. She's trying to study for Spanish. I feel for her because she's, again, in the situation where Dawson comes to her for advice because he doesn't know what to do. Like, does he kick Billy out? No, he can't kick Billy out because then Billy wins. But if he keeps Billy in his room, then he's going to be frustrated with Billy. Like, Joey's like, your problems aren't original. It'll all blow over. She's exhausted. She's still dealing with Dawson's problems.
Giant bags.
They did a good job with the makeup
under her eyes. I think that, you know, she basically, Joey is like, this is all going to blow over and you have nothing to worry about. I think this was some masterful saboteur work from Joey. She's like, yes, let's just sweep this under the rug.
Can you imagine if she called Billy? She calls Billy and is like, I heard Jen wants to get back together with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's the master manipulator. She probably was like, went to Billy, was like, guess where Jen is right now? She's by the river at the bridge. You'll never guess. Like, Joey's probably maneuvering the whole entire thing. But, yeah, so she was definitely pleased with this whole thing. And gives some, like, pretty shitty advice. But basically she was like, your relationship problems are, like, not that serious. Like, He is, I don't know. He's just being a whiny baby. And then she reassures him, tells him to relax, I'll blow over. He's like, you're the best. And he just like runs off and like slams the door because he is not courteous at all. And the baby cries. So thanks Dawson for nothing.
Yeah. And she ends up at this party because she knows he's going to be there. He shows up and is going to go get her a drink. He says, oh, one drink and we'll like go hit the video store. And she's like so excited about this because she knows he's coming alone.
Yeah. I think that this interaction is between Joey and Dawson is a glimpse into what their relationship was pre-Jen. So they had their like little like cynical jokes where they're like making fun of the cheerleader and the jock and, you know, saying like, you know, everyone's so lame and, you know, let's just get out of here and go to the video store and rent like a shitty movie. And I think that this is like we finally see like what it looked like before Jen came into the picture. Like we're like, well, what does this friendship look like? I didn't get it. Still don't really get it. But this is, I think, as close as we're going to get. Yeah,
this is exactly what their friendship was. Like they don't go out much. They stay in. They watch movies. They banter. And then basically he ditches her because Jen arrives like we talked about earlier. This is so questionable to me because so he ditches her to go with Jen on the beach, right?
Yeah.
She finds out because Fabio looking guy with an earring and a pinky ring shows up with a drink for her.
And you think that this looks like Fabio. I say that this is like a broke ass fake Dawson.
Long hair Dawson. Long hair buff Dawson.
Like, I think that this is why she was into him. He was Dawson has a
This is not on. Dawson. He's not awkward. He's not a movie buff. He's trying to get her drunk to make out with her.
And looks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my problem is that this goes down. She takes the drink from him. Literal minutes later, she's drunk as a skunk. Like minutes later.
I know. I was like, oh, she's like a lightweight. Like I was like, how fast does she get
this
drunk?
This is like 10 minutes.
This is problematic. Yeah. So you think that he slipped something in the drink?
Oh, I don't know. But like I'm just saying maybe. I'm just saying like it's insane how quickly she gets drunk because it's moments that he walks away and all of a sudden she's drunk because then as soon as
she's a lightweight.
Jen and Dawson are like on the beach, Billy, they have the altercation with Billy and that's when Joey's on the beach. So I guess we can kind of loop in the pacey of it all because all of these stories kind of intertwine once they're at this party where Pacey is the one who like he's the one who tells Joey that Dawson's going to be at a party and he's going to be alone. And I know your little secret plan that you're super happy that Jen's ex is here and you should come to the party. He totally is the one who like goes to the restaurant and is like, come on, it'll be fun. Like great for Pacey right here.
I'll tell you why. Because Pacey found one of Joey's like 30 notebooks that she like is having a hard time keeping track of all of her little notebooks. And this notebook, it says plans on how to split up Jen and Dawson and like all of her ideas, just like her her witty sayings notebook and her like different words for masturbating notebook. So this note, I'm joking obviously, but so he tells her that there's a party, gets her to come. He's like excited that she's coming and like, you know, he's like being a good friend, like, I mean, kind of. Like, he, like, makes fun of her at the video store.
Yeah, but that's their relationship. Like, their relationship is, like, a series of insults thrown back and forth,
like
right?
Like little jabs. But it's kind of their thing. They have that sense of humor in common with each other. You know, they're at the party. Like, you know, Pacey's, like, scoping out girls. Joey's like, good luck with that. It's never going to happen. And yeah, so what happens is that Pacey's actually being a good friend and is keeping an eye on Fabio lookalike. And is, you know, saying like, you know, keep away from her, or like, you know, she like lets go Joey, and Joey's like, no, like I'm totally fine. And like they're on the beach, and Pacey is watching Joey with this dude getting a little like handsy.
He's getting with each very other. Handsy, and yeah. The guy's like, come on, Joey, we're leaving. And the Fabio lookalike attempts to punch Pacey. He dodges it and punches the guy, obviously hurts his hand. And then freaking Joey goes, stumbles, falls on the ground. Dawson comes over to help her, and she's like, oh, Dawson, you're my hero. And Pacey's the fuck?
Yeah, he does. I saw that look. So then Dawson and Pacey bring Joey home.
Yeah, they sneak her in. Did you ever have to do this? Like sneak into your house like drunk as a skunk and not be found? Me neither.
I don't think
not
so.
Not that cool.
No, we just like drank in our rooms quietly.
Yeah. I was going to say I didn't really drink a ton when I was under the age. And when I did, it was like at a friend's house. We stayed in their room and we just drank like what are those things that people like hide places? Ice, those ice things.
Smirnoff ice.
Smirnoff ice. We drank those in my friend's room.
And you got iced.
That was before that was a thing, I think.
You know what? Like my friends like brought like gin over and gin's nasty as fuck. Yeah,
what the fuck?
That's what like my friend liked. Drinks. Oh my god. That's what my friend liked. I don't know what, like, and that was like, I was like, this is nasty.
No, that is nasty.
And then, like, we found tequila, and that was like a little less nasty. Yada, yada, yada.
So Dawson puts Joey to bed basically while Pacey's trying to keep the baby quiet.
Once again, Pacey's being useful and being a good friend, because he, like, her main concern was like, don't wake up the baby, don't like Bodhi and Bessie.
And he knows that the baby loves the English patient, so he's just like reciting that to the baby.
Because he listens to Joey.
Exactly.
He listens to her.
Exactly.
What a novel concept.
Dawson is putting Joey to sleep. He says, oh, if you ever need me, I'll be here for you. Or no, wait, yeah. If you ever need me, I'll be here for you. She, of course, pulls him in for a kiss, passes the F out. Mm-hmm. Then they, Pacey and Dawson are in a boat heading back over towards Dawson's house. And this is why I really like Pacey. And I think like you'll see, like I think the him and Tamara storyline is really bad for his character.
I've already turned around.
Well, yeah, because this is why people like Pacey. And it's because he's like, dude, are you a fucking idiot? Like your head is, you're so stupid. Joey is obviously in love with you. She's her head in the clouds. 100% ass backwards in love with you. And we're sitting here talking about your quote unquote friend, Joey, when you're having girl problems. Do you see what's going on? And Dawson's like, oh, that's not what love is. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, this is like so freaking annoying because like Dawson's just like, yo, my gosh, like Joey was like so like out of it, man. Like she was so wasted. Like she was like flopping around. She gave me a kiss. And like Pacey's like, and this is significant that she gave you. And he's like, no, she was just like out of it. And he's like, no, like you, like she's like 100% in love with you. Like, why can't you see that? Like, why don't you see that? This is like serious. And he's like, no, like Joey and I just have like this relationship where we like read each other's minds and know what we're gonna say, and we're like always there for each other.
Oh, that's like, not a relationship, you dumb fuck.
Like, yeah, list all the reasons why like a real solid relationship is like a good relationship.
I can't.
Not that they would have a good relationship. And he's like, yeah, but that's just friendship. Like what Jen and I have is love, and it's new and it's unknown. And he's like, there's a difference between friendship and love, Pacey. And
so ridiculous.
Pacey's like, yo, bro, like, are you sure you know the difference?
Yeah.
And Dawson's like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything.
Ugh. So what do you think? Okay, because we're now to the point where Dawson is single, Jen is single, Joey's single. Does Dawson get back together? What happens first? Dawson gets back together with Jen. Dawson gets together with Joey. Or are they all single for the rest of the season?
Oh, God. I just want... What do I think is going to happen?
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, God. I do think we're going to have some time with, like, sad Dawson, unfortunately. He's probably going to try to get back with Jen.
Okay.
I think that what's more likely going to happen is Joey is going to, like, maybe there'll be some – attempt at something between Dawson and Joey. But I mean, if we're talking about predictions, like, I feel like I know where this, where the natural thing is. Like, and we got a question on our Twitter where somebody asked us, like, Tom Palmer was asked us or said to us, ignoring all the trash Dawson stuff, what do y'all think of the Pacey Joey scenes? So I think that this is what we're setting up. I think that there's going to be instances ongoing where Pacey is actually a good friend to Joey, a good support system to Joey. They're starting to form like a good foundation of what could be a good relationship. And we're going to get like Joey still obsessed with Dawson. And it's going to get to a point where Pacey's like says to Dawson, like, you don't know like Joey the way I know Joey. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't like take care of her. Like, your relationship is not, it's like genuine. It's like, and he's gonna even probably say to Joey, like, he doesn't like you the way that I do. Yeah. Like, he's not here for you the way that I am. Yeah. And I think that this is kind of the direction we're going.
Yeah, I could see these, like, I think, like, and I'm not spoiling anything for the future, but I think even now in this episode alone, you see that, like, Joey, she's had a tough life, right? Like, she can be very serious and snarky and cynical. And Dawson, who has had a very easy life, but whatever, he also can be dark and serious and cynical. And so, like, those two together kind of just bring each other down. Whereas Pacey, he's much more, like, he's outgoing. He wants to do things. Like, he's fun. He's energetic. Like, he can
Pacey
kind of lighten
challenges
mood.
Joey.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that he's, like, a better intellectual equal to Joey, where he's just like, I don't know, like, they have like a little tit for tat. But I think that this is where we're going. Like, what do I think about these scenes? I think that it sucks that Joey like thinks that Dawson like really saved her in that moment where it's clear that like Pacey took the lead and all Dawson did was like run over to that side of the beach and you see Pacey being like, what the fuck, like, I like, hello, what am I, chopped liver? I think that Pacey was actually like, is like, he says that he doesn't take an active interest in Joey's life, but I don't think that's true. Like, I think that he's watching from afar, and he said later on to Dawson, like, we've been friends for like, I think he said 3 years. And I've seen like what's been going down, and I see,
he can like, see from an outsider's perspective. Like, we've talked about how like observant Jen is and Joey is, but Pacey is the only one who's truly on the outside of this triangle. And so he can see it for what it is. He can see that Joey's madly in love with Dawson and that Dawson only sees her as a friend. Or if he sees more than that, he's really not letting on or doesn't see that he sees it or see that he thinks it. And so we have Pacey being kind of the one who sees all, knows all. He's like omniscient and is the only one who can really talk sense into anybody. But yeah, no, I think that's fun. I think it's fun to keep an eye on those, all of those dynamics going forward. I think now we're into the territory of like, anything can happen. Everybody's single. Right. Who's going to hook up next? You know,
I mean, I just want like new people. I don't want them to be so incestual.
I will say eventually,
like,
we will get
each other.
We will get new people eventually. If I had to guess, I think it's season two, but this is a shorter season than most. So, that's fine. I think it's only like 16 episodes.
Is that true?
I'm double checking right now, but
I don't think that's
13.
True,
it's 13.
Oh, this is only 13 episodes?
It's a short season. Most seasons are like 20 something.
I had no idea. I've been going through this whole entire thing being like, yeah, like we're only like halfway through.
No, it's a short one.
Or like we're not even halfway through, but we like are literally halfway through the season. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay. So that kind of changes like my perspective on some things, because I'm like, well, like we have plenty of time to sort some of this stuff out.
No, not because
we really
season's
don't.
Very short. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Do we
I had no clue.
Do we want to get into the notable 90s song and our sassy saying before we go into feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just like no question what this the notable song of the week yeah, is, at the least
minute,
for me.
The minute that I heard it, I was like, Blink-182. It's so Damn It by Blink-182.
Yeah, yeah, in the party scene. I mean, this is like such a 90s classic song. This is like every single like movie that was in the 90s and early 2000s, like a party movie, like An American Pie, yeah, or like anything like that had this song in it. Like, this is like the song of a party soundtrack. Like, any like, you know, college type of movie had this song.
Yeah. And I love Blink-182. I think Blink-182 is such a great band to put on when you just want to like dance, or like when you're on a road trip or something. Like, I just feel mm-hmm. like Blink-182 is such a good band for that. And it obviously speaks so much to the 90s. It's so good. So yeah, that was an obvious pick this week.
It was still very exciting hearing this song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The minute I heard Care to Come, I was like, like, I got here very excited.
I know. Yes.
And I already hinted at my sassy saying of the week earlier. It was, it's the conversation between Jen and Dawson. And it was when Dawson just goes all in on Jen. He says, she's saying, oh, you'll find somebody else. And he says, somebody who appreciates me, somebody who doesn't blow into town with her dysfunctional past to play mind games with the boy next door, somebody who is capable of a healthy, committed relationship, and unfortunately, somebody nothing like you.
Fuck I love you. It. How I does Jen it. Not look straight in his face and just go, fuck you. You're yeah. the lamest fuck I've ever seen. Your dick is limp and you suck at kissing.
And you cry after you have sex.
And you cry after you have sex. How is that not what she says? I would just be like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Pacey's a better kisser than you, and Billy's a better kisser than you, and everybody that I've ever looked at is a better everything than you. Yeah. So go fuck off. How does she not say?
She has control. I don't know.
Good for her. Yeah. I mean,
what was your sassy saying of the week?
I have two short ones. One okay. from Joey. She said in the scene where she was sabotaging Dawson and Jen's relationship. Mm-hmm. Dawson, I hate to break it to you, but your problems aren't that original, and yes. I feel like that just is like soul crushing. For Dawson,
she's good with the one-liners for sure.
She is. Yeah, she does a monologue, which is no. good. And then later on at the party, Pacey asked Joey, how do I look? And Joey says, like a before picture in an ad for Geek Remover. Sick burn, Joey.
She's so good. I love yeah. that. That's so good.
Sick oh God, burn love, by Joey. She, awesome. She really got him.
She did. Do we have any feedback for the week?
Yeah, we do. So, we had like a couple of people being like, this was like kind of a weird episode.
I liked yeah. it. I really liked it.
I think it was just the aspect that, that Billy stayed in his bedroom.
Oh, 100% for like that's weird.
3 days, and like Joey was, I mean, and Dawson was like okay with that kind of, like he wasn't okay with it, but he was like, it I happens. Mean, this is what we're doing. Yeah. Like, and then, you know, we're all tickled by the whole correspondence between the ET doll, but it's not a doll. Mm-hmm. It's a collector's item. And
it's
then
a stuffed animal for sure, though.
We have our beautiful, thoughtful email from Stefan. And he goes, hey, ladies, I hope the subject of the line was not confusing or sent to spam. Jess has done that before. What does that mean?
So he's sent in feedback for community building. And for some reason, sometimes it will go into like, you know, Gmail, for those who don't use Gmail, organizes it into like primary, social, and promotions. And for some reason, it sent his email to promotions once, and I completely missed it. I know.
The level of disrespect.
I know.
He like writes his email so thoughtfully for it to not be read. Okay, whatever. Okay, Joey. Oh, we didn't even talk about this. And this, I love this. So in the beginning of the episode, Dawson's like clicking through the channels and he like comes across like the pay-per-view like scrambled sexy channel. Sex.
Yeah, it's all scrambled though.
Yeah. And like he's like this lame dude. I don't know if he was expecting Joey and that's why he didn't stay on it, but like I mean, what kind of 15-year-old boy scrolls through the channels, sees a porn channel, says, you know, this is not for me, and goes to classic movies? What a loser. Okay.
I mean, it was quite scrambled. Like, what was he going to see?
It's the, you don't need to see. You just need to hear it. And use your imagination. Okay, so, all right. Stefan says, Joey almost walked in on Dawson masturbating. Nah, very not cool, Joey. Very not cool. Like, their friendship isn't awkward enough. I mean, what would Joey even do? I don't know.
I think she would just leave. I think she'd be like, oh. Okay, I'm out.
Joey's the queen of creepin'. So I can just imagine like little Joey's like eyes and forehead like peeking at the window and she's like, ugh, and then she runs.
Yeah, she's like standing outside the window. She hears like some awkward noises and she just books it out of there.
Yeah. That's what Joey does. Yes. He continues, Ian Bailey is in this. Awesome. We don't know who this is.
That's the guy he's in Once Upon a Time.
I know, but why does Stefan think?
Maybe he watched Once Upon a Time. Maybe he watched some other stuff that guy's
in. Let me know why you think Ian Bailey is cool to be in this.
Yeah.
The scene with Pacey and Joey in the video store is fantastic. Update, all their scenes are fantastic. So, yeah, so this dynamic between this blossoming dynamic between Pacey and Joey, I think it started with Joey, you know, going up to Pacey after the whole rumor came out.
Yeah, that's kind of where, because they've always kind of had like an antagonistic relationship with one another. I think that was like the first time she reached out in like a very serious, meaningful, genuine way.
Yeah, and I think he's like starting to feel comfortable with her.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah. I get that questioning your relationship when an ex returns is a real thing, but come on, Jen, I know.
Yeah, we said something similar. I just think like she waffled back and forth too many times for my liking personally.
He agrees that the only answer for our notable 90s song in this episode is Damn It. So yes. Was very exciting to hear it. I don't know what it says about our culture, but a girl taking from a drink from a stranger is scary as fuck. I remember in college, like the few college like frat parties that I went to, like I was not taking drinks from anybody. No. Partially because I don't like beer and that's what they offered at frat parties, but also because you just don't take drinks from somebody that you don't know.
That's a rule. Like you don't take drinks from people, and you also always don't. You don't leave your drink anywhere. You bring your drink everywhere.
Exactly.
And yeah. Do you remember? I think it was after we graduated college. There was a girl who had invented like a nail polish.
Yeah, where I heard
that. If
you
like dunked it in the drink, it would change color if the drink had been like altered in any way.
Genius. That's genius.
It is truly genius. I mean, it's sad that it's a thing that should have to exist at all. But I mean, that's a sad fact of that people get roofied and drugged all the time. And bad on Joey. I mean, bad on that guy if he fucking drugged her. But also, yeah, Joey shouldn't be taking drinks from strangers.
No, that was definitely a bad move. Stefan also liked the you and everybody else lines. So he said classic Dawson. Dawson is such a flop. Maybe I should stop watching so much TV and movies. They seem to make Dawson stupid.
Well.
And then he says about Jen and Dawson, they broke up. Awesome. Maybe now they can grow as characters a little bit more. Pacey has been great since he and his 35-year-old teacher broke up.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly how we're feeling. You're like the third person in the room. That's how we feel. Like, I think that they both, like, all the characters need to grow. They all need some alone time. You don't need a boyfriend all the time when you're 16.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree completely.
just be with your friends. Like, you have your whole entire life to date.
Yeah, and just be married. Hang out. Go to parties.
Go to parties. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was 16, I was like, I need a boyfriend. Like,
well, that's
I
how
need
everybody feels. Somebody. Like, yeah. I mean, not everybody, but that's how I felt.
A lot
too.
Of people. Yeah. So, I mean, as much of my, as I'm like, yeah, like, obviously it'll be better if you spend some alone time. I definitely did. You know what? But, like, I couldn't get anybody when I was 16. So I was, like hopping around on, like, fucking RuneScape, like, making, like, pies and, like, being like, yeah. Hey, like, can I make you some armor in exchange? Will you go on an online date with me?
Yeah.
Like, that was basically what I had to... partially joking, but that's basically what I was up to when I was 16. So sad. Yeah. Sad. I'm sure you had plenty of boyfriends.
No, I had one. I had one boyfriend until I was like 21.
But starting to date at when?
16.
That's a long time.
I know. I almost we got engaged and then I was like, no. I don't think so.
No. Thanks, but no thanks. No,
I'm good. But yeah. No, mm-hmm. I didn't have like tons and tons of boyfriends. I'm a pretty monogamous person, honestly.
You are.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Why is this so awkward? Are we
That's
having
not
like
awkward.
An, are we saying. Having an issue like Dawson?
Oh no, I don't think he listens to this. That would be funny. That would be very funny. But no, I don't think he listens to this.
Oh, that guy? No.
That guy. Well, there's I don't think it's that guy. You're thinking of a different guy.
Okay.
This is fun for the listeners.
They have no fucking clue what we're talking about. You know what time it is?
Fashion hour?
Fashion hour, please, fashion for the love of God.
Hour. Yeah. All right. This week, let's talk some Rachel Green Award. If you're new here, I don't know why you'd be jumping in on this episode, but if you're new here, we talk fashion. Rachel Green Award is for the most 90s outfit of the episode. First nominee is none other than Miss Gail. Gail is, and this is her very, like, the very beginning of the episode. She's wearing an all-black kind of pantsuit. Phew, those shoulder pads are out of control. And she does have kind of like a Rachel Green haircut as well. Mm-hmm. The turtleneck I'm a big fan of. It's like, I don't know if it's like, it's a grayish, I guess is what I would call it.
Uh-huh.
She's in a pantsuit. She is ready to go to work, ready to have an awkward conversation with Mitch over breakfast.
Yeah. The thing that really like gets me going is this turtleneck. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I like the aesthetic and... her hair is flouncy. Her pantsuit is rocking it. I like this look. I think that she is going to look really nice in her news reporting segment today.
Yeah, I like that she dresses in black a lot. I think it's a good – I mean, I think black is a good color for a lot of people. But I like yeah. – it's very sleek. Yeah. Next up, like, this gave me such Chandler Bing Friends vibes. We have Dawson Leary.
Oh my gosh.
This is his school outfit. Has to wear a khaki because what else would he wear? Black socks, brown loafers. Like, he looks like he's going to work at a professional office, but he's wearing a blue button down. It kind of looks like denim-y. And then over top of that, the piece de resistance, we have the sweater vest, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We have a kind of cut in half, the bottom half being like a navy or a black with some stripes, some red and green stripes down the center and more of a green, sagey, taupey color on the top. Wow, this outfit, Dawson. What do you think?
Well, the saddest thing is that Jen... complimented him on this vest, which it's like
I think
Jen,
she secretly hated it.
I think that she secretly hates Dawson. I like this outfit is like not cute for a 16-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Like he looks like he's getting ready to go to work for his job to sell paper.
Like well, that's what I'm saying. Is, like Chandler Bing and Friends wears this exact same outfit, and he is like 10 years Dawson's senior. So what
are you doing, Dawson? Doesn't wear like age appropriate clothing.
No, he really truly doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of hate this outfit. Like, this is not cute.
I mean,
no wonder he has no friends.
Also, can we just admonish him for the black socks with the brown loafers, please?
Like, you're not supposed to do that. But you're then not again, to do that. But then again, white. Like, what kind of socks? White socks? No, no socks. No socks, right?
Well, I don't think we're in that era yet because he's not wearing like a tapered pant where it's like tight to the ankle. I think a brown sock.
Who has brown socks?
I don't know. Men?
I've never seen a brown sock.
I don't know. I don't know men's fashion. I'm just saying I hate it. At least it's not tube socks.
Maybe you are supposed to wear black socks with brown loafers. I don't know because a white sock is just going to look gross.
People who dress in men's clothing or know men's fashion, please let us know what the correct thing to do. I think the correct thing is to burn this outfit. That's what I think the correct thing to do is.
I think the correct thing to do is wear no socks, but that's not what the 90s does.
That is not like the 90s.
That's not like a 90s look.
That would be like an ankle pant where it's like tapered at the ankle. Right? Like it comes in at the ankle.
That's I guess so.
I don't like that look either personally, but
No sock and no sock.
No one can make
Well, maybe
me
don't
happy.
Maybe don't wear brown loafers.
Don't wear brown loafers and don't wear khakis. Problem solved.
Why are you wearing loafers when you're 15 years old? Wear a fucking Nike, you psychopath.
Thank you. Next up we have Jen. I had to choose this outfit simply because of the sweater. So she's wearing just like a normal average mom jean, like a light wash, high-waisted jean. Underneath the sweater is just like a black camisole. Her hair looks normal, you know, normal earrings, normal flat ironed hair with like a curl at the end, whatever, whatever. Like a lip gloss probably. But the sweater is really the kicker for me. It is a cardigan that has like three buttons down the center, but it's open at the top and it has these embroidered flowers on it, and I'm like, this is someone I have seen this sweater a million times in the 90s.
Yeah, there's some embellishments on the sweater. What are the are there flowers, you say?
I thought they were flowers again, not HD. Yeah. No, that's what I thought they were. They looked like little pieces of holly almost.
Yeah, definitely like an embellished sweater. It's like a little cropped. Like only one of the or two of these buttons are buttoned. I mean, I do like this outfit. I think that she looks cute. Her hair is her normal straight and flippy and floppy.
Yes.
Side, no middle part for her right here. So our winner today. I think that Miss Gale is my winner because I like the turtleneck. I think the hair is like really doing it for me in terms of like 90s. And the shoulder pads, of course. Jen, I think, is a close second, but it's like I need to see the shoe. You know, we have issues with this show really loves to have close-ups, so I can't see the full outfit.
That drives me a little bit insane. I think if I had to guess, she's wearing that same type of black boot that we've seen her rock with jeans before. That's what I think, because she was wearing those earlier in the episode. I believe that's probably what she's wearing here as well.
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong to give it to Gale?
No, I like Gil's outfit 100%.
I feel like it's just like she's just like vibing today.
No, I like it. I agree with you. I think Gil's outfit is great.
Yeah.
On to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. This is for the outfit that we deem the most timeless that could be worn at any time. First up, I don't know what I'm saying, but first up, we have Mr. Pacey Witter. This was the outfit in which Billy nearly ran him over. He starts out the episode in this outfit. I love the sweatshirt he's wearing. I don't know why.
It looks so cozy.
I want to buy one for Will. It's very New England cozy. It is like a mixture of like a sweatshirt and a coat. It's unzipped. Yeah. It has a lot of pockets, but it looks very heavy duty and warm. But I also feel like it looks kind of more sleek than a normal sweatshirt would look.
Yes. Yeah.
I appreciate that about it. That's the reason why I picked this one. The other parts of his outfit are fine. It's just like a beigey taupe shirt with a white stripe in the center, white horizontal stripe in the center. I could be wrong, but it appeared to me that he's wearing brown corduroy pants. I don't know.
It looks like it. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was like kind of sad that they were corduroys because I was like, they're really not timeless. Like I could definitely place corduroys firmly in the 90s, but the sweater.
Age appropriate. This is an age appropriate outfit.
It is.
Though.
This is 100% an age appropriate outfit. He's using yep. like a JanSport backpack. It looks to be hair. Again, the hair looks pretty timeless as well. I mean, I could see somebody having that haircut nowadays. Maybe yeah. a little bit more product in it. But yeah, overall, I think this is a timeless outfit. What do you think?
I think so too. No, I think so too. I mean, I can totally see somebody wearing this today, maybe just with the jean. Then I would say absolutely so.
Yes.
I mean, the shirt underneath the sweatshirt doesn't look too far off from like a Champion sweatshirt, which is, you know, very in right now. So I think that this is like a good school look for him. Yeah, just wish if he was wearing a jean, I would say that it was a great outfit for Pacey, but it is, and much, much nicer of an outfit than the shit that we saw from Dawson earlier.
It's like yes, crazy. Absolutely. Definitely more age appropriate than what we saw from Dawson.
Yeah.
Up next, we have a repeat. We have Jen making an appearance in the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness category. Tough to see the bottoms on this outfit. Again, they really like their close-ups, but I really liked her sweater. It's kind of like a rusty, burnt orange color, a bit more muted than a burnt orange.
Mm-hmm.
Very like cozy looking sweater.
Yes,
she has her
yeah.
signature black backpack purse on. Everyday hairstyle. When we did get close-ups, I thought her makeup was particularly timeless because it's a very fresh, young look. Minimal, almost like a, I'm not wearing makeup, but like really she
yeah.
is.
And yeah,
she has
totally.
Like a nice gloss on. I believe she's wearing like a dark brown trouser, if I had to guess from what we can see of it.
Yeah, it looks like that. This sweater, I love this sweater. I love the color too, and I don't really like this type of, I don't like orange, honestly, but this is like, is either a, it's either a cashmere sweater, a mohair sweater, or what's the fabric that starts with an A, that like the little bunnies, it's like the little bunny sweater, you know what I mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Made from bunnies. Whatever. Sorry. Doesn't matter. But it's like fuzzy. It's like a fuzzy
yes.
sweater.
I like it looks fuzzy. Yeah. Like it looks like if you have like flyaways on your hair, but it's a sweater.
Yeah. I know.
I love the verbal descriptions we're giving for all
fuzzy. Like, you know, that fuzzy bunny sweater. It's a yes. little bit orange bunnies. God. I just want to know
just
what that fabric is.
Just the listeners tell us what it is. Maybe the listeners will.
Okay, listeners. It starts with an A, and I'm just, like, spacing.
I'm just thinking ascot, but I know that's not what it is, because that's, like, a little, like, neckerchief thing. Listen, I don't know.
I just want to know. It's not a fabric. It's, like a hide. Okay, whatever.
I still have no idea.
Leave me alone.
Anyway.
Over it.
Yes. So moving on to our final pick for Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. I did mention this a bit earlier. I think this is a darker, less expensive version of the Chris Evans sweater in Knives Out. But this is Mitch Leary. This is the part of the episode where he has the conversation with Dawson. He's wearing like a light wash denim. His undershirt is like a navy color. And his sweater, it's like a taupey, taupey brown color, and it's really like heavy looking, and it has it's a pullover, and it has like four kind of brass expensive looking buttons at the top. Looks well worn. I really like this.
Like he's like fully being his zaddy self. Like this outfit a lot. This is like such like a dad outfit, but stylish. She's wearing a like a really nice wash of denim. I like this like he's wearing like a little like purple shirt underneath. Yeah, I like this a lot. His hair looks really good. This is very, very, very timeless. I think that he looks great, and Honestly, I think that he has to be the winner.
Ooh, wow. So that makes the husband and wife duo the winners this
week.
Yeah,
look at that. I was thinking of the word angora earlier.
I never would have been able to tell you that. So
yeah, angora. It's either, okay, well, whatever. I don't care what the sweater is anymore. It lost.
So, yes. Yeah, so congratulations to Mitch and Gail. I approve of both picks. I think they're both wonderful. Great job. I liked a lot of the outfits this episode. I thought they had a great.
I did too. I thought like there's a lot of options as well. Like we didn't even talk about like Billy. We didn't talk about Joey. Yeah, that
I had a tough time narrowing it down, to be honest. Yeah. Like I almost didn't want to put Jen in both categories, but I thought both her outfits were very worthy of it.
No, I like that sweater a lot. Yeah.
So it kind of had to be included. Mm-hmm. But no, I think everybody was worthy. I think it was a good episode for fashion.
Yeah, great picks.
Do we want to... So next episode, we're talking season 2, episode 9. The title is Road Trip. Would you like to make any guesses?
Road Trip. Oh, gosh. I can only imagine if the four of them have to go on a road trip, that will be the worst road trip of all time. So that's my guess. Like, they have to go... Maybe they have to go back and pick up some stuff that Jen left in New York, and they wound up all going on a road trip together for whatever ungodly reason, which I don't think I don't think any of them drive, so I don't really know how that's gonna happen, but that is my guess. They all have to go on a road trip together, and hilarity ensues or
lovely
whatnot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And let's see. What do we have to plug this week? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, so today on Thursday, our friends at BG World Fever, Boy Meets World Fever, which is another Boy Meets World podcast, released the episode of My Date with the President's Daughter that we had recorded with them. So, like I said, that's Boy Meets World Fever. Go check it out. Listen to us talk about that iconic Betsy Johnson dress. You know, we love talking about like old DCOM or like Wonderful World of Disney movies that we assume hold up but never do. So,
we had a lot of fun with that. Definitely give that a listen. Chance and Cameron were so nice. And it was a lot of fun talking Disney with them. So definitely go give that a listen.
Yeah. Besides that, if you haven't listened to our coverage of or our episode of Pilot Season with Michael J. Clarke covering My So-Called Life, definitely check that out, or listen to us talk about You've Got Mail, which was one of our bonus podcasts for the month of February. Definitely check that out. If all goes well, we have another bonus podcast for Feb. Should I tease it?
Yeah.
Tease. Okay. So one of my favorite movies is Clueless. I don't know if I've said it so much on this podcast, but I say it all the time in my real life. So for our second episode of Rom-Com Feb, still trying to make that happen, we are going to be covering Clueless with Chappelle, which more than thrilled to welcome him back and talk about Clueless. I think it's going to be like a really fun time.
Yes, yes. This is all pending okay weather in Texas. If you've been looking at anything on the news lately, you'll know they've got some really bad snowstorms and a lot of people are without power and heat and a lot of crazy stuff happening down there. So if all goes well, if not, we will definitely get it on the books at some point. But obviously keep everybody in Texas in your thoughts, because that's like absolutely insane what's going on down there.
Yeah, right now. I did want to mention that, like, as much as we, you know, love to joke about Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World and all this nonsense, anyone that's listening from Texas or Oklahoma, my heart is out to you. I hope that you're warm and safe and okay. I hope that, you know, you guys get through this really soon. I'm thinking of all of you.
Yeah, we don't like snow, and we live in the Northeast, so I can only imagine living in a state that never gets snow, isn't prepared for it, you know, doesn't have the resources dedicated to it. Must be very difficult. So everybody stay safe and warm. And obviously, we will be back next time, season one, episode 8 of Dawson's Creek. We talked about it called Road Trip. Special thank you to JD McGuire, who created our theme song for us. And we will catch everybody next time. Bye, guys.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.